I got a list here of top resolutions for the new year. Number one, lose weight. Number two, be on time. Number three, make more money. Number four, save more money. Five, better family time. Six, quit something. Seven, start something. Eight, meet someone. Nine, get promoted. 10, work less or more. 11, accomplish a dream. 12, deeper spirituality in some way. 13, give more. Does anybody have a resolution out there they want to share that I left off the list? Okay. Well, who out there likes resolutions? Who's a resolution maker out there when it comes to the new year? It's okay, you can raise your hands. You don't have to. Chandra's a resolution maker. Anybody else? All right, nobody out there is a resolution maker. Well, that's okay, I'm not a resolution maker. But we all do make plans in our lives, don't we? We make goals. We have plans to better ourselves. We have plans to achieve something. We do. Just because it's not a resolution doesn't mean we don't all plan to do these things sometime throughout our life or throughout the year. Making resolutions and making plans is a good thing because we need to be moving forward. We need to be growing. We need to be active. When it comes to the resolution focus, I don't know if you guys have heard the TV commercials here after New Year's, but it's resolution season. I don't know how many times I've heard it, and I don't even watch TV a whole lot, more than I should, but it's resolution season, and oh, it's resolution season, you should buy a new car. It's resolution season, you should make more money. It's resolution season, you should go to Walmart because you're going to save more money this year, that sort of deal, if you've seen those commercials. But what I'm asking myself this year is what's my focus? What are my motives? What's the reason behind wanting to change or making changes and making plans? How many times have I done something because I thought God would want me to? And how many times have I stopped and asked God what he wanted me to do? Is my top list of things to do my priorities or God's priorities? One of the testimonies that I have about kind of this situation was I had this friend in college named Anthony. And he shared in a worship service. And he got up and he said, you know, the Lord really laid something on my heart. He said, I was feeling like the new year was coming and I didn't really like who I was and I really wanted to be better for God. So what I did was I got out this piece of paper and I sat down and I wrote all the things that I was going to change for God. Right? Because that's a good thing. You want to be better for God. So I thought, okay, I need to change this. I need to change this. I need to start doing this. I need to be more disciplined with this. I need to change this about myself. And he said, I filled the paper front, back. No margins. It was completely filled, and I laid it before God. I should have felt great, right? Because here you are willing to do all this stuff for God. It's like, give me the star right here, God, right now. Here's the paper. Pat me on the back. I should feel great. He said, but I didn't feel great. That's when the Lord laid it on my heart. And I turned my pencil over and I erased everything on the page. Then I handed the blank page to God and said, would you write for me the plans that you have for me? Would you write on my heart what you want me to do? I think what's funny about when we make plans to change ourselves for God is because, man, when I make plans to change myself for God, they're pretty easy. They're limited. They're limited by what I think I can and can't do. They're limited by what my comfort level is like. Well, that's stretching my comfort level. Sometimes God really wants to stretch your comfort level more than you think he should, but yet it's less than you can still handle more. See, when we gave our lives to Christ, and this is what Anthony said. He said, when I gave my life to Christ, it wasn't so that I would have a supporting cast. As I went on about my life, just someone to be there to support me as I did my plans. I gave my life to Christ because I needed the author and the director for my life. Isn't that the truth when we make our plans? Now that was an experience that I had in college. And this year was when I got to experience it in my own life with plans because we felt God calling us to move, and Chandra and I are both like, yep, God's calling us to move somewhere. It's to Iowa. And so we started making plans, and we looked at all the options, and it's like I wrote down all the things that we were going to do for God. we're going to apply here, 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 and here. But not here. Not here. And I just remember this went on for 6 months. And God closed every door and he thwarted every single plan that I had to stay inside my comfort zone. And to stay inside what I thought we could do. See, there's that limitations things. When we make plans, we're like, well, that's not an option. Chandra and I both agreed, that's not an option. And so I started making my own plans and to see where we would fit in. If I had given that paper to God and said, write your plans, I wouldn't have a garage full of tools. Because I was coming out here to trim and do ministry, because that fit in with what we were going to do. I like my tools, I'm glad I have them, but I probably would have had a different focus if I would have said, here, God, make your plans for me. It's a very simple message this morning, but it's a very good reminder. It's very clear throughout the Bible. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 6, it's very clear throughout the Bible that what God desires from us is our hearts. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 19 through 23. And it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching about money, but he's teaching about something deeper. Starting in verse 19, Jesus says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Because wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body." This is my favorite part of this passage, by the way. "Your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. And when your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. And when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light that you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is." It's scary to think that there have been times in my life where the light that I thought was light was darkness. How deep were those lies that I was living in? What Jesus is saying here is that if our treasure is where our hearts are, and our eye is focused on our treasure, are we filling ourselves with light or darkness? What he's teaching is that there's only one source of light, and to be illuminated, it means that you have to be focused on your treasure in heaven, which means we have to be focused on God. Remember the very start of the message, I asked, what's my motive? What's my focus? When we make plans, we're focused on something. There's a reason for making the plans. Now, my plans, am I making them because I'm focused on God? Is that the treasure that I'm focused on? Or like a lot of resolutions, I've had a resolution to make more money, right? Or maybe just work more hours. But that's focusing on money. That's not focusing on my treasure in heaven. And there's only one treasure that you can focus on and have your body filled with light, and it's the maker of light, the giver of light, and that is God. So there's just one question that we have to ask ourselves as we wrap it up. As we begin our new year, where are our hearts? Have we made plans for God to fit into our lives? Or do we understand that God is our treasure and our heart's desire should be for him to write in us his plans? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we go throughout this new year, Lord, just that we would have the courage to hand you our piece of paper and say, would you write for me the plans that you have, Lord? Whether I think that I can do it or not, and whether I think that it's even possible. I'm not making plans this year, Lord. You write them for me and write them in my heart. And I pray that I will have the courage to follow.